This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy War. Jack and Dean. Joy.
That's right, it's time for Joy Law. This is the regular segment where we chat to the team from KHQ Lawyers about legal issues of interest or concern to the LGBTIQ+ community and its allies. I'm always worried I'm going to miss a letter there. And joining us today live in the studio is Bron. Hey.
Hey, Bron.
Hi.
Now, the crowd is cheering, but we're about to talk about dispute resolution. Alternatives.
Yes.
That gets the crowd so excited.
Yes, yeah. And you may not be so excited if you are going into litigation. So what we try to do is avoid that.
Yes.
So I was just going to chat about a few of the ways that we try to do that.
So how do you avoid going to court?
As I said, there's lots of reasons why you wouldn't want to go to court. Mm. There can be extensive delays because at the moment, you know, we often find that we don't have enough judges to get through things quickly. So you could be waiting up to 2 years for a hearing.
Well, what qualifies as a dispute, though, if we kind of take it from the very
from
basis.
The ground
yeah.
up. Yeah, look, it can be anything, and when we go through the spectrum of the types of dispute resolution processes that we have, you can see it can be anything from a dispute over one issue that can be in relation to property or parenting matters. So it could be that you have one asset that you just can't decide what to do with. It can be that you've got children and you disagree about the care arrangements, you know, where they should live, where they should go to school, how much time they should spend with everybody. It can obviously get much, much more complex than that. You could have, you know, parenting matters where you have children with special needs or adult children with needs or, you know, property matters where you're dealing with complex trusts and things like that. So you really have the full spectrum. But having said that, even complex matters can be dealt with outside of court.
Can you imagine being a judge sitting in court?
I'm just thinking Judge Judy.
You arrive at work at 9,
time.
You leave at 5 and you spend the whole day listening to everybody else's
dispute.
Yeah,
or like people with parking fines and they all represent themselves. And they all gathered at the court.
Yes, you do see that sometimes at the magistrate's court. Yeah. Family court, it's usually a little bit more legal representation is okay. what you usually see, but we do see some self-represented clients. But litigation, bring whether you're represented or not, it can be, you know, very hard on you. It can be really stressful, very costly. It can cost, you know, from a few thousand dollars to hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So not something you want to enter into lightly. And you do sort of lose control over the outcome of what the dispute is.
So it can get quite unpredictable. Yeah.
It can be extremely unpredictable because you really are handing that decision over to the judge. So it, you know, you can, what we say is you can always try to settle your matter even if you are in court. You know, that doesn't stop even though you're litigating. But if you can manage to reach an agreement between you on your own, that's usually better.
So you've convinced me I want to avoid going to court. What do I do?
Right, okay. So there are, I would say, four main methods of dispute resolution that do not involve court. These are appropriate if you don't have an urgent matter. So say if you do not have a matter that requires urgent court attention, like a child has been abducted or
about to leave the country.
Someone requires urgent spells or maintenance, or there's a time limit that applies to your particular application. But if those don't apply to you, we would say start with negotiation. So sometimes clients can do this on their own. Sometimes they need the help of a lawyer. So that can often require us to write letters back and forth between the lawyers, propose some offers, get some counter offers going, that sort of thing. You may also have what's called a roundtable conference, which is basically a conference between the parties and the lawyers in someone's office. But again, keeping it outside of court and keeping it quite informal and less costly.
I have never said, but I'd love to say, you can expect to hear from my lawyers. Wouldn't you love to be able to use that phrase?
Yeah, or like, give someone a subpoena and, like, you know, you get served.
You call that a toaster sandwich? You can expect to hear from my lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, look, there is
this. There's not a weak soy latte.
Yeah.
You expect to hear from my lawyers.
You do, I suppose, miss out on the drama, some of the theatrics of court if you go down some of these avenues, but I'm not sure that it's always worth it to go to court just because you want to use some of those classic
shopping
lines.
For a court outfit, you know.
a nice court shoe, maybe.
Yeah, a little nice pun there.
Something else you might try is a mediation. We have several practitioners at KHQ who are trained as mediators, and lots of family law practitioners are. But basically you can go through also a private mediator or some community agencies like Relationships Australia and LifeWorks. But basically any mediator is a neutral person who is appointed to facilitate discussions between, you know, two or more parties. Hopefully,
you don't have to be qualified in any way?
Like as a mediator? You'd have to have some pretty extensive training to make sure that you're, you have the right approach, that you're, I mean, mediation needs to be confidential. There are certainly a lot of obligations that go along with being a mediator. So you
and
would
the mediator can't take
for,
sides. The mediator has to...
They have to be neutral. Their role is facilitative.
I couldn't do that.
Can't ask a friend.
I'd be like, I'm backing them.
Well, and that's why you can have your lawyers there as well, and your lawyers can be in your corner, or you can have support people and that sort of things that, you know, that can support you in making the points that you want to argue on your behalf. But, you know, it can be a good thing to do if you have a parenting matter, because it is that little bit more gentler than litigation. So you can hopefully preserve a bit more of a co-parenting relationship. And, you know, if it works out and you reach an agreement, you can then document that agreement. And if you find that in a few years time that needs to be reviewed, you can go back to the same mediator and you can get some sort of ongoing assistance.
A couple of years back, Anthony and I renovated the kitchen. It would have really helped if I had a mediator when it came to the door handles. Because we could not decide. Mm. We could not decide.
Yeah, that's a classic.
We eventually got there.
Who won?
I think he did.
Oh.
And you know, let's love the door handles.
Don't hold it against him or anything these years later, no.
But let's say mediation doesn't work. What are some of the other options?
Yeah, so some of the other options, which are, I would say, probably a little less common, an option you might look into is arbitration. So it's essentially an informal judicial process. So you submit your dispute to a third party, which you appoint together. It may be a registrar or a barrister or an ex-judge or something like that. You leave the decision in their hands, they hear the evidence, and they make a decision which is binding on both of you, although it can be appealed in limited circumstances. But it might be most suitable to those matters which are a bit more complex, but you definitely still want to stay out of court, and you're still having someone, you know, completely neutral, a neutral decision maker making that decision for you.
How do you find out the outcome if you don't go to court? Will they send you a letter, or how do you...
So you would still be involved in the process of, like, let's say, you know, you would be providing your material, you might be making arguments before the arbitrator, that sort of thing, and they would hand down their decision, I would say, much like a court would. Mm. So although you're not physically attending a court and you don't have to, you know, go through the same waiting periods or, you know, have the same court fees for filing your material, the process is intended to mimic that court process. So it sort of looks the same, but you are not actually at court.
So given it's informal and mimicking a formal process, is the decision binding?
Yes. So the decision is meant to be binding. As I said, there are some limited circumstances in which the decisions can be appealable. Generally speaking, it's meant to be treated as this is the final decision.
Is it a cheaper version than going to court?
Yes, it would be. So you would have to pay the costs associated with the arbitrator. And, you know, as you could probably tell from what I listed before, they would be relatively senior practitioners. They would also be trained in arbitration. So again, you're looking at a highly qualified professional, and you would have to, you know, pay your lawyer's fees in terms of preparing your material, sort of like you would at court, but you don't necessarily have to go through, you know, the same series of procedural hearings, court filing fees, you know, diverting off to mandatory mediation, those sorts of things.
So, and you could save on your wardrobe, like you wouldn't have to buy your court shoes.
True. Can I do it in my PJs?
No, but you wouldn't need to, you know.
It's not that important. And then lastly, the last one I'll mention is collaborative law. So it's been popular in a lot of other places like the US and Europe, and it is popular here as well.
Like fun and friendly.
Yeah, that is
collab.
That's meant to be the point. So again, it requires specific training. Some of the members of the KHQ have this training, but basically you are trying to reach an agreement in the matter as a team. So that means both parties and their lawyers as a team. So you enter into basically a contract which sets out a code of conduct for the dispute resolution process. You meet as a team. Lawyers give you their advice. advice openly. So, you know, whereas that wouldn't happen otherwise, that would be protected by privilege. So you're waiving that effectively. But the idea is that it's a much more amicable process. You can really sort of feed off one another, and you're equally invested in getting a good outcome. So that generally can be very successful. Of course, if the matter doesn't resolve through this process, you do have to get a fresh set of lawyers because of the privilege that's been waived through that process and the openness of it. But when it works really well and helps preserve those relationships for the future as well.
Fantastic. So what in summation is the benefits of dispute resolution?
Yeah, so alternative dispute resolution, so, you know, staying out of litigation, you have much more control over the process, generally much more efficient and cost-effective, and we do most often see that you have a better chance of preserving your relationship with the other party, so that means you can, still have a successful co-parenting relationship, or your families can still, you know, get along because you don't necessarily have the acrimony of the litigation process.
Mm. Good.
Yeah, so many options that I didn't know about. And not that I have a lot of disputes in my life, but it's good to know. I don't
not yet, still learning the way.
Judge Judy every single time.
No.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Bron. We look forward to speaking with you again next time.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.